Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. How exciting it is to be here tonight in this church. And I've been here a few times. I know my dad preached here a number of times also, but this first time I've had the privilege to preach in this church. And thank you for inviting me, Brother Bill. And I'm trying to say Bill. I'm so used to calling him Billy and Joey and all that. And I know as we get older, is it okay? Some people get offended if you call him by Billy. I'm not Billy anymore. I'm Bill. But or William. So anyway, it is a truly a privilege to be with you folks tonight. You're one of my hero churches because of your heart for missions. And it's a great competition we have, trying to see who can give more for missions. That's a great competition. We wish more churches would get excited about that and try to compete with us and try to outgive us. It'd be a win-win for all of us. So pray for our church. Our church, of course, has gone through a change of pastoring. My dad pastored at Townies for 33 years, and then my brother pastored for 26 years. And they passed away 2 years ago. And then my dad passed away a year ago. So the church was without a pastor for about a year and a half. And just back in this year in February, they called a man out of Florida. His name is Brother Russell Riggs. And they're doing a great job, doing a great work for the Lord. So please pray for our church that it won't lose its passion.
Amen.
You know, it's the devil, he's just always trying to pour cold water on these churches that, just step back, you take care of yourself and you got a mission field right here. But pray for our pastor, pray for our church that we just keep going forward and that we keep competing, see who can do more for the Lord. So anyway, thank you for allowing us to be here. Open up your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And what a privilege it was that my wife was able to get up here and share something. She is truly a helpmeet. We first went to Mexico. Everybody's got their ideas about missionaries, missionary wives, and all that kind of stuff. And I kind of had that thing stuck in my head that, bless God, she's got to do this, she's got to do that. And it wasn't what God's plan was. I accept that now. But for the longest, I tried to push her into doing this and this. And she went through language school with me. And had a difficult time. She went halfway through school, and then there were some tough times with the kids. And so she decided she had to step back and not be able to finish the language school. And so that hurt her on learning the language. But she understands very well. It's amazing the understanding that she has of Spanish. But for the longest, I tried to push her to do a lot of things. And I want to share. I'm sharing this. For if God maybe sends you to the mission field, and maybe your wife is not, there's some great missionary wives, and man, they jump right in with all fours, and they teach the kids, they teach the ladies, and they do, praise the Lord, that's great. But after trying to push my wife for a few years, I finally realized, I told her, I said, sweetheart, all I want is for you to take care of me, so that I can do what God has called me to do. And so ever since then, that took the pressure off of her, and she takes really good care of me. You see, I'm not hurting for anything. So I praise God for a good wife.
Amen.
When God first called us to the mission field, as Brother Bill said, I was 44 years old. And we had this discussion. In fact, when I first told Darla that, God's calling me to the mission field, at first she said, well, how about just go on short mission trips? Maybe you can go and kind of get that out of your system, go visit, come back, and I can stay here. But, and so anyway, so I after just how long was it? Maybe a month, 2 months started when you came to me and you said, was it not that long? Okay. I'm not good with dates. Okay. So
it was like 2 days.
Wow. And I'm behind the pulpit and I'm saying weeks, okay. It was a short time, 2 days, okay. That she said, I'm behind you 100%. And
Amen.
praise God for a godly wife. And
Amen.
She's we're serving the Lord together in San Luis Potosí. Luke chapter 5, we're going to read the first 11 verses. The Bible says in verse 1, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. He sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful conference, Lord, and for what you've already done tonight, how you spoke to my heart, and I'm sure many other hearts, Lord, that we would never lose the passion for souls, the passion for people that are out in this world, here in San Antonio, around the world tonight, and never heard even one name, that wonderful name of Jesus. Thank you for the privilege, Lord, to be able to take this name. Help us tonight, Lord, as we share what you've laid upon our hearts. Lord, help us just to be your mouthpiece and to say what you've got for this wonderful group of people. We ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to talk about tonight about from teacher to Lord. In this first, in verse 3, it says he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed in that he would thrust out a little. I'll tell you, let me jump back here. Verse 5, and Simon answering said to him, Master, we have toiled all the night. Right here, and now Spanish is interesting, of course. In fact, I'm not even preaching out of my Bible. This is weird, because when I went to Mexico, Brother Milton Martin, one of my heroes, he told me, Brother David, once you cross the border into Mexico, get rid of your English Bible and just start doing your reading in Spanish. I'm saying, Brother Milton, I don't even know Spanish. I mean, it's like reading Greek, but not reading Greek, but it's as far out there as Greek. But he said, get you a Spanish Bible and just start, and little by little, the Lord's going to give you understanding. And that was amazing. Can you not hear me, sweetheart? Why? He said, you can't hear me? What am I supposed to, stand up higher?
No,
oh, move the microphone.
It's not a microphone.
Well, then why did I put this on?
Hello?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was talking right in the microphone. Okay. That's right. You guys are street preachers, and you're used to preaching like that, so I'll try to talk like that. Woo! Okay. I'll do my best, folks. All right. Most of the time when I'm witnessing to somebody, I'm right here. I get out, we're standing under a tree or wherever, and we just talk, so I don't have to, I'm not used to, like you guys. So, alright. So, alright, I'm gonna try to, see, you couldn't hear me, sweetheart? Wow, I thought my voice projected more than that. Okay. So, Jesus being, in this passage we're seeing where Jesus went from being a teacher to Lord. Jesus was a religious teacher. He does have a whole lot to say. In Mexico, the standard answer when I go and talk to somebody and I say, what do you think Jesus came to this earth? And most of the time, the answer I get is, well, he came to teach us how to live. Well, he did. He did come to teach us how to live. He taught us a whole lot more than that. But Mark chapter 10, let's begin Mark chapter 10, verse 17, just to see a little bit of what Jesus did teach us. Mark 10, 17 says, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. That's quite a message right there. Jesus came teaching that. Can you imagine if everybody took that to heart? If everybody would just listen to that teaching from Jesus and put it into practice, don't commit adultery, don't kill, don't steal, don't bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. We'd have a wonderful, tranquil world, a very nice world to live in. We'd be, all be good citizens if we would only put those things into practice. We'd have no setas. We wouldn't have those drug cartels running all over Mexico. We wouldn't have the politicians we have today, would we? Wow. We are in a sad state, are we not? I agree with Brother Lindell. I can't watch the news, but about that long. When I was here in the States, of course, I had a painting business before I went to Mexico. I worked at painting and roofing for about 22 years. I'm really trying to project my voice. I'm hoping y'all hear me better. This is really weird, okay? But I'm doing my best. So in the back, if you can't hear me now, every now and then, just wave your hand. I'll try to talk a little louder, okay? But I worked in the painting business before I went to Mexico, and while I was painting, I always had the radio on, always listened to Rush Limbaugh and Carl Wigglesworth and all these guys, and I mean, I couldn't get enough. And then I went to the mission field, and I mean, you guys know when you're on mission, it's 24/7 evangelism, teaching, evangelism. That's your whole mind. And I'd come back to the States for whatever reason, and my habit was to turn the radio on. I wonder what's going on. I put on Rush Limbaugh. I couldn't take like 3 or 4 minutes of it. It's like, it's just driving me nuts. And even less now. I'm trying to watch the news. And anyway, if we would just put into practice these teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, we wouldn't have all these dishonest politicians. We'd have stable marriages. So Jesus came as a teacher, and he was the best teacher of them all.
Amen.
But in verse 3, back in Luke 5, anyway, I explained that about my Bible, not having my own Bible. Every time I preach, it seems like I'm using a different Bible. Tonight I'm using my father-in-law's Bible, so bear with me. Verse 3 says, he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And so he approached Simon. Of course, they would clean their nets, and Jesus said, I want to teach a while. Let me get in your ship, and we'll push the ship out, and that way I can speak to the people, and my voice will project, you know, they'll be able to hear me better. And so that's what they did, and Jesus taught. And can you imagine the message that Jesus taught? We can only imagine. Of course, in a companion passage, it said, from that time forward, Jesus began preaching to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So he probably preached a message along those lines. But he was teaching the people that day. And in Mexico, I have many who will allow me, as far as teaching, I found that I have a lot of people that are happy to have me come into their house to teach them. Many have respect for the Bible still, and they have respect for what we do. So many times I have an open door and plus me being a gringo, okay, out in these villages, they don't see many gringos. So first of all, I was like, what are you doing out here? And so just out of curiosity, so that works in my favor. And I use it. Hey, use what you can. And so, you know, they invite you in. And so they'll allow me to teach them for a while. You know, makes me think of that passage, where is it? In Acts chapter 17, verse 18. I tell you, Brother Lindell was jumping all over back and forth. I'm trying to move as fast as he does. 82 years old. That's amazing, Brother Lindell. You sound the same like 20 years ago. Probably one of the last times I heard you preach. It's been a long time. Acts chapter 17, verse 18, when Paul was in Athens, verse 18 says, then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say? Others, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, and don't criticize my pronunciation, I used to pronounce very good. I was a good speller before I started speaking Spanish. And that all went out the window. Now I come to a new word and I try to pronounce it in Spanish. And David, you're not in Mexico. Say it the right way. So anyway, whatever that name is, saying, may we know what this new may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is. For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean. Verse 21. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. So here this gringo comes to this rancho and he walks up to the door and starts talking about the Bible and Jesus and salvation and redemption and all that, and they're curious. And so I get to go in and I start teaching them. But I find many times that doesn't last. They're interested for a while, but then when I start touching on those subjects about repentance and turning from your sins, well, now that's a whole new thing. Now this is no more fun, okay? The new has wore off. So many times people, but again, take advantage of that. Get what you can when you can get it. And perhaps many of you came to Oak Knoll because you heard there was great teaching, great preaching, and there is. Brother Lendell, how long have you been pastoring, brother?
61 years.
61 years. Wow. That's my whole life. I'm 58. I'm 61. I was born in 58. That's weird. When did you start preaching? What month?
September. It'll be 62
years, September 1st. Oh, you started preaching before I was even born. Wow. And my dad started in May of 1958. Started preaching at Town East. I think he started preaching in 1955. But anyway, perhaps you came because you heard Brother Lyndall Kincaid, man, he's a preacher, he's a teacher. Well, we got to go and hear that. Or Brother Bill, or many of these other guys that stand before you and open God's Word and share. And maybe that's what you came for, and that is great. But I want to talk about something that even more important. In verse 4, now when he had left speaking, he's been teaching. Now, when Jesus had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. Jesus said, let's fish. And he said it as a command.
Yep.
One thing you guys in Mexico, I guess in Poland, I guess all languages have, you learn imperatives and all that kind of stuff. I learned these imperative words. You know, when it ends with a D, that's not just, you're just a suggestion. It's like a command. And so Jesus says, let's fish. Let's go out and fish. Well, Jesus was he raised a fisherman? He's raised a carpenter. And he's telling a fisherman, I don't know how long, I guess all his life, Peter was a fisherman. And here's Jesus saying, let's go out and go fishing. Well, what's Peter been doing all night long? He's been fishing. I mean, he's the expert. Thank you. Help me out. Woo! He's the expert in this. And yet Jesus, this great teacher, is telling Peter, let's fish. He said, but Peter said, we toiled all the night. You know, sometimes God gives us commands that we don't understand.
Right.
Ain't that true? Like I said, when God called me to the mission field, I was 44 years old. I had my life set, folks. I had a good job. I mean, once you work in a business for a while, you start getting clients, you get return clients, and you know, I had plenty of customers and money was coming in and had me a house, I had me an RV, I had horses, and I mean, I was sitting pretty, and I could see the rest of my life. You know, we was busy in Town East Baptist Church, we were supporting missions heavily, and we were knocking doors, and we were in the choir and teaching a children's church and all that, and hey, my life's all right, I'm serving the Lord. And then God just stepped in and told me to do something else.
Yeah.
Now, do I have a right to say no?
No.
I don't.
No.
Can I say no? Yes.
Yeah.
But God wants us to be obedient. Amen. And he called me, and 44 years old, that is a difficult age to go to the foreign field. I mean, I lived in San Antonio, and as most of you know, y'all live in San Antonio. Do all y'all speak Spanish? We're surrounded by Mexicans. I mean, you drive down the roads and you see all these Spanish signs. I didn't know any of that. I mean, I knew basic, you know, the basic stuff. But so that was interesting that God calling me. I mean, there's some younger guys in our church, and I mean, with a lot more capacity than I have. Why are you calling me? But you know what? He did.
Yes, sir.
And I thank God that he called me. I can't think of doing anything different. I love what I'm doing.
Amen.
I got to Mexico, and of course with the language school in Aguascalientes, and then moved over to Moctezuma, and I was going to work with a missionary, Brother Bob Smith. Many of you know him. Been missionary for a long time. And I was going to, you know, my idea, okay, we're going to serve 2 years. I mean, because when you finish language school, my teacher said, Brother David, now you got everybody that graduates from language school have a vocabulary of a 4 to 5 year old child. Okay? I think I had vocabulary of a 2 or 3 year old, okay? But you have a small vocabulary, but as you use it, you'll get better at it. And so my idea was to go to Moctezuma and work with Brother Bob Smith and his ministry and little by little get more understanding and get more comfortable and all that kind of stuff. Well, Bart and I moved over there and we went there, but I don't know how long, not long at all, and Brother...
2 days.
Yeah, 2 days. It almost seemed like 2 days. But Brother Bob had Brother Bob called me in. Brother David, I've got to share something with you. Yes, sir? My wife's not feeling well. We're going to have to move back to the States. Wait a second, I'm in Moctezuma, a town of about 5,000 people, and I was going to learn all this from you, and now you're leaving. And he left. And I'm sitting there, a little 44-year-old, now I'm 45, 45-year-old man with a vocabulary of a 3 or 4 year old, and I'm supposed to do ministry. People are sending me money every month to do ministry. What am I going to do? Well, God had called me, and he gave me a specific ministry. He used Brother Milton Martin and Brother Bob Smith. It's amazing how God uses people to put something in your heart to do. God used Brother Milton Martin. He always would preach about, you know, don't just focus on one area. Focus on a large area. He said, pick a state and sow it down with the scripture, with your preaching. And you're going to find little pockets that are going to respond. And then work in those areas. And that's what happened with him in Chiapas. I mean, God blessed crazily in Chiapas. Now, he's got, I think, over 300 churches scattered throughout Chiapas. He would fly over villages and throw out leaflets. And it would just have a thing that they could send in for a free Bible correspondence course. And he would get those, and he'd send their Bible, their course. He said after 2 or 3 courses, he'd get letters. He still hasn't stepped foot in their village. He'd get these letters. Brother Milton, there's 4 or 5 or 6, 7 people saved in our village now. Could you come to our village and help us establish a church? Wow! So God used that. God planted that seed in my heart. Okay, I'm going to do the same thing. And then one time when Brother Bob Smith was preaching at our church, he was talking about his ministry, and he's had a church in Moctezuma. He said, there's about 400 ranchos around Moctezuma that still have not heard the gospel. And so God tied those two things. Okay, the ranchos, San Luis Potosí. Okay, so God placed on our heart, Darla and I's heart, to go to every village in the state of San Luis Potosí. What a job. Like Brother Leno said, it's a huge job. It seems impossible. And it is. When I got, and I didn't realize until I got there. I got there and I went to INECI, which is, they do maps and census and all that kind of stuff. Went and got me a map and started checking all the ranchos, yeah. I say datos.
Statistics,
okay? And come to find out, there's 6,731 ranchos/villages in the state of San Luis Potosí. And me and Dawn are supposed to get to all of them?
Yep.
Yeah. That's what God said.
That's right.
And so, Brother Bob, he leaves. I got my vocabulary of a 3 or 4 year old child. And I got to do what God says. So, you know what me and Dawn did? We just got a map. And to the best of our ability, we saw a village and we just kind of followed the road. You could see roads and rivers and electrical lines, and we would find our way to a village.
That was before we got the GPS.
That's before the GPS. Many times I'd get up on top of my car with my binoculars. I'm looking for that cluster of houses because that, you know, Rancho is just a cluster of houses. And I'd find that cluster of houses and then I'd find my way back in there. And at first, all I could do was just hand them a packet. I got a packet. I was in a store there in Moctezuma one day and the lady there was pouring rice into a bag, folding it over and running in front of a candle and sealing it, put it on the shelf and then do it. I thought, wow, I could, because I started out just going and leaving John and Romans or a track. At, if somebody would not come out, I'd, because many times they won't come out. I would leave a packet hanging there on the fence or, you know, you can see where the barrier is. But there, especially in the rainy season, I mean, rain just comes out anywhere. Out of nowhere. And so I thought, there's got to be a better way. So when I saw that one day, I thought, I can incorporate that in my ministry. And so we started putting those in a little plastic bag and sealing them. And so now it's clean if it rains or dust or whatever. And so now that's what Dawn and I started doing. We drove out to the village, and all I could do is smile and say one of the words I learned, regalo. Un regalo. And they would say, blah, 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 blah. I had no idea, but I say, regalo. It's very humiliating. You know, but when your master tells you to do something, things that seem impossible, you just got to do it. And so little by little, that's what we started doing. And praise the Lord, God has allowed us to go to, we still got a lot to do. We've done like 1,300, something like that, villages. But we got a lot to do. In my prayer letter, I'm trying to recruit some other exciting, I can't think of a ministry more exciting. And I thought by now I would have recruited somebody. I mean, I build it up and like, man, I can't, there's no better ministry than this. Every morning you get out and you're going out and driving in this beautiful nature, country and rivers. And I mean, I'm an adventure at heart. So isn't it cool how God gives you a ministry that just kind of fits with who you are? And so I'm trying to get somebody else to help us out because I'm looking, okay, I'm 61 now. I think I can do this maybe at least till 75 or 80, you know. But at this pace, I'm not going to get it all done, okay? I mean, I think if I just went to every house and just left a packet and ran off, I might be able to do it. But as you know, you go to some houses and people want to talk and they're interested. Well, now everything stops. You know, I'm not trying to just run up past people and, here, get a track, you know. So anyway, pray for us. But anyway, when God gives you a ministry, a vision, He will give you what you need to take care of it. And so God sometimes gives us things that we don't understand. But you know, when Brother Bob Smith left, we just carried on, and now we've been there 17 years, and it's just, we're having a great old time. Verse 5, chapter 5, verse 5 says, when Simon, of course, Jesus had just said, let's go fishing, launch out in the deep, let down your nets. Simon answering said, Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. I like that word. Nevertheless, in verse 5, you know, Simon's talking to Jesus, a carpenter, and he says, you know, we've been fishing all night and it doesn't make sense to me, but nevertheless, you know, when God told me, David, 44 years old, it's time to go. God, you know, there's this young guy, man. I'm sure you could do a much better job. But nevertheless, I'll do it. And that's what Peter did. He did it. He obeyed. And what happened? He saw a miracle. And that's what many of us have experienced as missionaries. Of course, I'm speaking as a missionary. This is a missionary or evangelism conference, okay? And I'm sure many of y'all can use some of the same stories, but I'm using, thinking missions. When I went on deputation, talking about how when you take that step of faith, you say, nevertheless, and you see miracles. We've seen miracle after miracle. I know before we went to the mission field, God placed it on our heart, and of course, we visited churches. I know in this church, I believe all church supports when somebody's called out of the church, This church supports them?
Yes, 100%.
Hallelujah. What a blessing, okay? But our church does it differently. We visit other churches. And, of course, I'm glad it worked out for me that God did that way because I learned a lot. I tell you what, I grew up in a bubble in one sense all my life, Town East Baptist Church. And honestly, in my head, after going through all this, God was teaching me. He's teaching me, David, just because they don't do it your way doesn't mean they don't love God just as much as you do. I had a critical spirit, honestly. And I'd go to some churches and, well, they didn't sing the way we did. They didn't worship the way we did. And, you know, that little critical heart of mine would start, you know, but I would see these people love the Lord. They do it differently. And that's helped me on the mission field, too. So, but anyway, we've seen miracle after miracle, but we started deputation. And, of course, being transparent, God called me in the mission field. I've got to go on deputation. Well, my dad is Joe West. I'm going to get my support, you know, because I'm Joe's boy. What an honor. That's an honor to be Joe's boy. But I had this all planned out, humanly speaking. We do that, don't we? You know? Well, I know this pastor and this pastor. And I know he's going to support me. I got this made. You know, God had to teach David. He taught me lots of stuff on deputation. That's why I'm saying it was good for me. Because, you know, I would visit, and many of these pastors were gracious that knew my dad. They'd invite us, and we'd speak. But I know a lot of these churches, you know, had missionaries in Mexico, and they, you know, they were kind to have us in. But a number of them did not take us on for support. But God was using that because he was showing me, David, it's not because of Joe. You're not going to get to the mission field because your daddy's Joe. I'm taking care of you.
Right.
And I'm going to send people my way and talk about miracle after miracle after miracle. People that it's like, how'd you get my name? How do you, you know, they would call us up and people would take us on for support. And it's, again, we've seen some wonderful miracles. And if you'll just take that step of faith, and I'm preaching to people that are here, that maybe God has been working on your heart and you've been throwing out all those doubts. Well, but God, you know, I had all those same excuses. God, I'm being faithful here. You know, da, 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 da. And God's just like, oh, really? I didn't know that. He knows. He knows.
Right.
He knows it all. But we've seen miracle after miracle. I mean, one time running, my wife always criticizes me because so, sometimes I'll let the gas get a little too low. If it's less than half a tank, she gets nervous. Yeah, you understand that, right? Well, one time, and I try to be pretty good about keeping gas in there because I go in crazy places. I mean, one time I was going out to a Bible study. Went out to Barrancas. I got there, finished the Bible study, but there was still some daylight. And I wanted to get to one of these new villages that was back in the mountains. But I wasn't thinking, I forgot, that as soon as I finished the Bible study, I was going to go back out the expressway and go to the gas station and get some gas. I forgot all about that. I mean, I was low, but I knew, you know, after a while you drive a car, you know how far you can push, you know, how close to the line or below the line. Well, the lights come on, but I still got 12 more miles, you know. But that went all out the window because I left the Bible study and I'm beeline for this village. And so I go out there and I'm driving and it's way, way, way back in there. And all of a sudden, I saw that thing get where it's never been before. Yeah. And I got really nervous. You know what? God was with me out there. And I know he did a miracle. He just either pushed that car back out or he poured some gas in the tank. And after I finished what I did, I'm praying the whole time, God, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. My wife tells a story about your grandmother, Lord, multiply the gas or something. How's she say it?
Lord, multiply the gas.
Lord, multiply the gas. But that's what I was doing. I was praying the whole way out. But I've seen, again, that's just a little miracle maybe to you. To me, that was a huge miracle. You know, we can experience miracles through other people's lives, but how much better when we get to see them personally. And I can give story after story, but I'm looking at the clock, so I'm not going to, whatever, okay? Can't think of the word. Ephesians 3:20. What we've seen is expressed in this verse, chapter 20. Now unto him that is able, you know, I think when the one time I think Brother Lyndall Kincaid came to our church, and he zoned in on this verse. And I mean, I heard it many times, and I'm sure I've read it many times, but when he came and preached, and you focused on each and every word in that verse, it's like, wow. I mean, I just wanted to, I wanted to dance dance in the aisle, okay? We don't dance over town east, but I mean, I didn't raise my hand. Now, unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. He has done exceeding abundant above all that I could even imagine. What a privilege to be his ambassador. What a wonderful way that Brother Linda put it. Ambassador is the highest, what was the word you said?
Highest
representative of the government. Wow. And we're the highest representative of the highest government.
Amen.
Ain't that right? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody want to dance in the street? Yes, sir. Back to Luke chapter 5, verse 8. Luke 5:8. When Simon Peter saw this wonderful miracle, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." I looked at that word, Lord, in the Greek. Says, supreme in authority, controller, owner, he to whom a person or a thing belongs, one who has control of the person. Jesus in that moment went from teacher to Lord. That's a difference. You can come to church and hear all the teaching and enjoy all the teaching and praise God for the teaching, but when you take that extra step and he becomes your Lord,
yes.
Changes everything.
Yeah.
Now you don't have any rights. You got to give all your. We live in a country where everybody wants to talk about their rights and get sick of hearing about, well, I have my rights. Well, we as Christians, we do not have any rights. When Peter saw this miracle, Jesus went from being teacher to Lord. The result, verse 11, when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him.
Amen.
Luke chapter 6, verse 46 says, good question that we all should ask ourselves. Jesus speaking here, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? We can come in here and talk about our Lord and sing songs about our Lord and tell people that Jesus is our Lord, but has he ever asked you to do something and you said no? That's not the way you're supposed to respond to your Lord. Because your Lord he's your controller, he's your owner. He to whom a person or thing belongs, one who has control of the person. Does Jesus have complete control of you? He should.
Amen.
Someone said, God has every right and my permission to rearrange my life at any time, in any way, in order to fulfill his plan for its influence to his glory.
Amen.
What a statement. Listen to that again. God has every right and my permission to rearrange my life at any time, in any way, in order to fulfill his plan for its influence to his glory. It's all about him.
Yes.
If he's your Lord,
amen,
that's the way you're going to respond to him. And that will be tested. I'm going to give you a little, tell you a test that God, how he tested me just recently. Okay? Yeah, I stepped out. You know, God called me to the mission field. I stepped out and went to the mission field and to the best of my ability, doing all that God is showing me, having me to do. Well, about a year and a half, we had a pulpit committee at our church. And of course, Larry passed away. and we're looking for a pastor. And I had people coming to me, Brother David, it's a perfect fit. Why don't you be pastor of Town East Baptist Church? And I said, no way, Jose. No way. Last thing, I have no desire. And then the pulpit committee called me and asked me the same question. And I responded the same way. Guess what? God got a hold of my heart. Wait a second, David. I thought I had your permission to do anything at any time, to change anything in your life, and you're supposed to respond, yes. Well, I didn't want to. I love Mexico. I love where I live. I love what I'm doing. And I did not even want to contemplate leaving that. But God convicted me. David, I can do it if I want to. You know what I had to do? A sus órdenes. Yes, sir. Whatever. And I said, okay, if that's what God wants, y'all pray about it if that's what God wants. Well, that wasn't God's plan. I praise the Lord for that. But my part was being willing.
Amen.
Are you willing to do whatever?
Yes.
If you're 44 or 24 or 54 or 74 and God wants to change your life tonight and send you off in a whole different trajectory, thank you.
Direction.
I have to carry you with me, Josh. If God wants to do that to you, are you willing? Are you going to second guess it? Like I did. I did. And it went probably a few days. I was fighting it. Because, anyway, but God just wants us to say yes.
Amen.
He's calling missionaries. I'm about to finish, folks. He's still calling folks. I've been praying in Town East. We've sent out a number of missionaries out of our family, but it's been years since someone has left Town East Baptist Church to go to the foreign field. Each year we have our missions conferences. Man, I am leading up to it. I'm praying. God, send out. I've been praying specifically. Two families. Years come, years go. And I don't believe it's because God's not calling. I'm sure He's calling. But there's people out there that have not made that transition to Jesus being their Savior to being really their Lord. And maybe there's someone here tonight. You're one of those. Praise the Lord. You're saved. You got peace with God and all that Brother Linda was sharing with us tonight. But you're being a disobedient servant. You can sit here all your life and do all the things in church and maybe make you feel good inside about it. But if you're not doing what God has told you to do, you're not going to hear that, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'm hoping that God's calling a family out, or maybe two families out of this church. Amen. There is such a need. I mean, just in my little corner of the world, in San Luis Potosí, I see I've done like 1,300. I'm thinking, okay, we got 5,400 villages still. That's just in one state of the 31 states of Mexico. We need a lot of help in San Luis Potosí. I'm sure John could say the same thing in Puebla. I'm sure Mike and Susan could say the same thing in Real del not Pachuca, Pachuca, okay? But in Venezuela, I mean, just name the country. There's needs everywhere. And God is still calling out missionaries. And we need more missionaries out of, oh, no, to surrender and say yes. I'll end with this story. There's a story of this hacienda owner. They had this huge hacienda, huge land, and he called all his servants together. He said, I'm going on a trip, and while I'm going, I want you to bring all of my fields under cultivation. I want you to tend all my fields while I'm gone. And he left. While he was gone, all the servants got together and they started digging there around the house and the yards close by, and they're pulling the weeds and planting flowers and planting grass, and it's just beautiful. And the next year, they do the same thing, pulling the weeds out of the lawn and around the house and the flowers and stuff. But presently, one of the servants said, I remember my master. He told me to bring all of our land under cultivation. There's still a lot of land out here. We haven't gone out there. And that's his land. He told us to take care of it. And so he left and worked off in a far corner. And the people said, no, you can't leave. We have too much work here. We can't do all this work ourselves. And yet he left. A few years passed. A couple other servants went off and did the same thing. Years passed. The owner of the hacienda came back. And he got there, and of course, he was very pleased. He saw the house, and the yard was all mowed, and the weeds were pulled, and the flowers were growing, and all the servants were standing around expecting to hear, well done, good job. And he said, well, I want to take a look at all my land. And as he traveled around, he saw area after area that had not been taken care of. Not even one time. The weeds had overgrown. The dirt was hard as a rock. And he came back and he said, you did not do what I told you to do. You kept thinking about this just one area. And yeah, you did a good job right here, but I told you to go out there. We're doing a good job. We're doing a job here in Oak Knoll, in this neighborhood. And praise God for the ones that God has called to till and serve in this area. But there's far-flung areas, folks. It's hard for us to imagine. I know this church is very unique. Y'all traveled a lot. Y'all been to a lot of mission fields. So this is not a typical church. So many of you are well aware of what the mission field looks like and how desperate the people are and how dark these areas are. Maybe some of you have not made one of those trips yet. The need is great. We have our master saying, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Will you be obedient? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. What a privilege, Father, to be your servant. Lord, just to put into practice what you've told us to do. Lord, we can't win them on our own. All we can do is be your mouthpiece, be your servant, and share. Lord, I pray that you will help some man, some woman, some couple that is sitting out there, Lord, that they're contemplating this and all those other things that the devil puts in our minds is clouding into their mind and putting doubts like, can I really do this? Lord, help them to realize that you will give them exactly what they need to carry out your purpose in their life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All these things we ask in the precious name of our Savior. Amen. Amen. Brother Bill.